Greetings to each one of you. And I'd like to begin by expressing a sincere thanks to the eldership of this church for extending an invitation to us, me and my wife, to be here with you this morning on this special occasion. We do not want to take this for granted. And I would also like to bring greetings from Calvary Baptist Church, Kumawa. As we were coming, they sent their love and greetings to us all. We will covet your prayer as we continue with work at Calvary. We have planted 3 churches, one in Lundazi, which has no pastor at the moment. And if there is any who has heard the Macedonian call, there is a church in Lundazi. We have one in Magazine, which we are has been in operation for the past 4 years, and we are now constructing a church building there. Please do pray with us. And we have one in Chiparamba, and we need we have a student pastor from Covenant College who has just taken up that work. Please, you do well to pray with us as we continue with that work. I'll invite you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John and chapter 1. And we will read verses 1 to 18. Gospel according to John and chapter 1, and we will read verses beginning with verse 1 to 18. I'm reading from the New King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the world word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness to him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I have said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received grace and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Let's turn to God in prayer, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for your word, which you have given to us, that through this, your word, we may be enlightened and made wise for salvation. We pray that as we look at your word, may you illuminate our minds and give us understanding of your word. You know that we are a needy people, and as we come before you this morning, we are yearning to hear your voice speaking to each one. Aid your servant as he brings your word, that he might do so under the inspiration and guidance of God the Holy Spirit. And glorify yourself, our God, through the ministry of your word and through the worship of you this morning. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before coming here, I met a man who came to me and said, "I'm happy that I've met you today. I have actually nothing for Christmas. Boss, you need to do something about my Christmas." And I was wondering, what is it that he was looking for Christmas? What is it that I would offer him for Christmas? In other words, what is Christmas all about? Christmas is not all about eating. Christmas is not all about excessive drinking of beer. Christmas is not all about getting involved in evil vices, indulging yourself in sexual immorality, and finding yourself prey, especially for the youth, in peer pressure, indulging in illicit drugs. That is not all about Christmas. Oh, Christmas, brethren and friends, is about the coming of Christ into this world. Christmas is more about focusing on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, on what he came to do and fulfill here on earth. Oh, Christmas is about the grace, the love of God lavished upon people living in darkness. That is what Christmas is all about. In the text that we have read this morning, the Apostle John gives the revelation of Jesus Christ. He brings to us a revelation about who Jesus Christ is. And this morning, I'd like to consider two things. The Apostle John's revelation of Jesus Christ. And secondly, the implication of this revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the Apostle John's revelation of Jesus Christ? I'd like to suggest seven things that we see in the text that we have read together this morning. The first one is that John reveals Jesus as the Word. The term Word in Greek means logos. It designates God's Son. And so the Apostle John says, Jesus is the Word. And we read in verse 14 of our text, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, who is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, the Word took on humanity. The Lord Jesus Christ took on humanity. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was not by accident. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied by God, that he would come in this world. And yesterday, during the Christmas carols, we looked at one of those prophecies in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, where we are told, and therefore the Lord himself will give you a son. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. You shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And again, we noticed in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. Before the Word became flesh, it was prophesied that the Word would become flesh, that Christ would be born in this world. We see also, not only in Isaiah, but also in Deuteronomy, Moses prophesied about this. Perhaps let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. Just look at two verses there. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. We read, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." Moses is saying that, and is prophetically talking about Christ coming. Verse 18, we talk, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I command him." And this prophetically spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word. And we see this fulfilled in the New Testament, that what Moses prophesied about, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled it and mentions it in the New Testament. If you read John 8 and verse 28, you will see that coming out. John 8 and verse 28, listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says there. "Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. As my Father taught me, I speak these things." And this is what Moses said. And Christ affirms it and confirms it in there. And we see, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." The Lord Jesus Christ affirms that to us. And so John tells us that the Word became flesh and lived among us. And if you read again in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, we are told this. "He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." His name is called the Word of God, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here John, the Apostle John, actually emphasizing that point to us. And he adds that his robes be dipped in the blood. Christ's garments were spattered with blood, symbolizing of the great battles Christ fought against sin and against death on the cross of Calvary for our redemption. Oh, the Word left the glories of heaven. He left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny, that his destiny was the hill of Golgotha, and there to lay down his life for us. And that is love for us. But secondly, what is John's revelation of Jesus Christ? Back to our text. John tells us in verses 1 and 2 that Jesus pre-existed before the creation of the world. When he was born, or when he became flesh, it doesn't mean that was the beginning of Christ. No, he pre-existed before the creation of the world. And John affirms this in two ways. First of all, John tells us of Jesus' eternal existence. Oh, listen to what he says here. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Meaning before he became flesh, he was with God. He pre-existed, and when he came for a specific purpose to fulfill. And Christ is eternal. And John speaks of the eternal existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he doesn't only speak of that, but he also says that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Although he took on humanity, Jesus is God. Just as a coin has two sides, both valid, king and tail, they are both valid. Oh, Jesus has two natures. Oh, the human nature, he became the Son of Man. Jesus is God, the Son of God. And John tells us of this truth about the pre-existence of Jesus, that Jesus is eternal. Jesus is God. However, we see also even John, the Apostle John, again writing in the first epistle of John, saying this. First epistle of John and chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is the true God and eternal life. However, he is distinct from God the Father. He is separate. He is a separate entity from him with regard to his distinctive personality and his role that he plays, though he is God. And this affirms his deity and the doctrine of Trinity, which is the fundamental truth of our Bible. It's a fundamental truth of our Bible, which has been distorted by the New World Translation Bible published by the Jehovah's Witness. It has distorted. In fact, what it says there is, the Word was a God, which is not true, denying the deity of Christ and denying the truth about his eternal existence. But thirdly, what is John's revelation of Jesus? Oh, we read in verses 3 and 10 that Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Creator. We read in verse 3 there, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Meaning when the world was being created, Christ was there. The world was created by Him. And there is nothing that is created that was created without Him. Oh, we read in verse 10 there, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. The world, the sad part here is that, and the world did not know Him. The world which He created did not know Him. When we read Colossians in chapter 1 verse 16, it is important that we look at some of these passages of scripture that confirms about Christ being the Creator. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, we read, For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things exist. There is nothing that was created without Jesus Christ. And so John reveals Christ, whom we are celebrating, as the Creator. But fourthly, what is John's revelation of Jesus Christ? John reveals Christ as the life. He reveals Christ as the life. We see this in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all men. In Christ alone was life, and the life was the light of all men. Now, we all know that life is man's most important asset. When we are sick, we will do all that we can in order to get back to life. To lose life is a tragic. The Apostle John affirms that the ultimate source of life is Jesus Christ. The utmost source of life is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source of physical, spiritual life. He is the fountain of life. Do you want to enjoy life? Life is found in Jesus Christ. Life is not found in beer drinking. Life is not found in womanizing. And I'm glad to see young people here, children I have seen grow up. Boosie grew up in my eyes, and Willa, I've seen them jump around here and there. It's good to see them declaring here that there is no life in the world. Life is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus in John 10 verse 10 says this, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I want to warn anyone here who thinks he can find life outside Christ. You've got it all wrong. Come to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you will find life. And you will be able to testify that truly I have found life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But fitly, what is John's revelation of Jesus Christ? Oh, John reveals Christ as the light. And we see this in verse 4, which we've just read. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And I want to say, to emphasize that point, in him was the light, and the light of men. Men in this world have no light apart from the light that is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from the light that we get from the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we walk in darkness. And as we read in Isaiah, that the people that lived in darkness have now seen a great light. And that light is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside him, there is no light at all. And Jesus himself claims that in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Listen to what he says there. John chapter 8 and verse 12. We read. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Anyone who follows me, anyone who is in me, will walk in the light. He will not walk in darkness. And again he says it in John chapter 9 and verse 5. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Do you want to walk in the light? You can only walk in the light if you acknowledge Jesus Christ. Outside him, there's no light. It's full of darkness. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 8, he says this, for you were once darkness, but now you are light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. Who is he addressing here? He is not addressing non-believers. He is addressing those that have acknowledged Christ in their life as the light, as the true light, and as the life. These are the people the Apostle Paul is addressing. And the question I ask here is, the light has come. The Lord Jesus Christ has come. Have you acknowledged Him in your life? Have you acknowledged Him in your life? Have you believed that this is the true light sent by God into this world to expose the works of darkness? But before that, when I was teaching science, when I was teaching, I asked my pupils, I said, what is light? One of the boys surprised me. I was expecting to hear that light is a ray of particles moving in a straight line. And the boy says, light is the absence of darkness. I think he was more spiritual than being scientific. Light is the absence of darkness. And those who are in the light, those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, will not be associated with darkness. Instead, they ought to be associated with light. They ought to walk in the light. And if you call yourself a Christian, and you are involved in shoddy deals, then you are not walking in the light. Perhaps sometimes at our places of work, people look at you and the only thing they say is, this deal will not pass as long as this man is part of the chain. If we want to have this deal to pass, let him go on leave and this corrupt practice will pass. But if people can say, no, it's a simple matter, we'll just convince him and he will do it. You are not the light. At our places of work, in our classes, people must be able to zip up and begin to say, no, let's change our language. The discussion we are talking about is not good. They are people of God. Why? Because you are the light. You have exposed the deeds of darkness. Light and darkness cannot mix. And Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. Because you are associated with me. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, we are told this. In verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Men do not want to come to Christ because they need to turn away from their evil words. And so they want to continue walking in darkness. Once you were darkness, but now you are the light of God. Is there someone among us this morning to whom God has been speaking to and you have resisted to come to Him? You have heard the message of salvation preached and you have defiantly refused to come to Christ because your deeds are in darkness.
And you are saying to yourself, if I come to Christ, I will lose these deeds of darkness. All I want to say this to you, that the light has come. The light has come. And you have resisted that gospel of salvation, telling you to turn away from your works of darkness and come to the light. You have resisted. Some of you can even explain how one can become a Christian, but you yourself, you are not a Christian. You have not come to the light. The light has come, and men have loved darkness instead of light. And the same thing happened to the Jewish people, as the Apostle John expresses it in verse 10 and 11 here. We are told that he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. His own people rejected the Lord Jesus Christ to whom he came. They denied him. Oh, because their works were in the darkness. But look at verse 12. But verse 12 brings encouragement to us. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. To those who believe that Jesus is the light. That Jesus is the light. That Jesus is the word that has come to give life to people. Those that received him. Those that believed in him. He gave them the right to become children of God. And I want to say that not all are children of God. Some are children of the devil. And where do we see that? Well, we see it in the scriptures. As Baptists, twasumina mufyale mbwa, we want to show epotisangile ni pesa. We want them to know. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Listen to what it says. John chapter 8 and verse 44. We are told there, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In this world, there are only two people, children of light and children of darkness. And the question I ask is, where do you belong? You cannot be in both. No. It's only those who have received Christ, who have been given the right to become children of God, who have believed in his name, who have trusted in him, that he has come as a savior to save me from my sins, that he shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary for the remission of my sins. That there, on the cross of Calvary, he bore my sins. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the Apostle John also tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And trying to distinguish people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Listen to what he says there. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to what he says in verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Meaning those that have received Christ were once in darkness. But now they have been sanctified. They've been justified. They have been washed. Would you be among those? Would you have a testimony like the ones our friends have? That I used to walk in darkness, but now I walk in the light. Sixthly, what is John's revelation of Jesus Christ? We are told John reveals Jesus as one full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. And we see this in verse 14b, that and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth are only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 16, again, we are told there, and of His fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, also writing to Titus chapter 2 verse 11, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to all ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And who brings about that? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. In our life, when we receive Him, when we have Him as our Savior, in our, when we acknowledge Him as the only Savior of our lives. Anyone who follows Him will walk in the truth. And we will live by the truth. It is sad to note that there are certain people who claim to be Christian, but one would describe them in inverted commas as pathological liars. They cannot say the truth
they will die with naught. The question is, if you are a child of God and you have Christ in your life, if you used to be a pathological liar, you now be telling the truth. Young people, you're telling your parents, I'm a Christian. And your parents are saying, we want to know whether you tell the truth. You don't need to tell them I'm a Christian. They need to know. They don't need just to see you speaking the truth and telling the truth. Then they will know that a great transformation has taken place in the life of this person. The grace and the truth have dawned upon the life of this child. And we are in our festive season. And now everyone is moving about from church to church. And you hear people say, speak a blessing in my life. And the pastor will say, this year will not pass. You will be driving a limousine. And he will say, I receive it. Someone scores for Zambia. And he says, njenda na favor. Grace, wenda na favor, because you've scored? No! Grace is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the favor of God comes from. It doesn't come from the mouth of a servant. It's God who bestows blessing, grace upon us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there you are. You have people now going to do dubious means and things in order to come back and say, oh, the favor has shined. And yet all they are doing is full of evil and coming to testify of things that have not come through the grace and truth. Grace and truth is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, what does John reveal about the Christ? John tells us in verse 18 that no one has seen God. The only Son who is in the bosom of the Father has made him known. Do you want to know God? God has been revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ has been revealed in his word. Do you want to know who God is? Christ has revealed the Father to us. And this gives us the purpose of his incarnation. It was to come and reveal the true God. You cannot have a relationship with the true God without your faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and man. Without Christ, you have no access to God. We can only have access to God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's putting faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then can you know who God is. Only then can you have eternal. What's the implication of all this, brethren? Oh, let me say this. The implication of all this, the revelation of John, has been mentioned in Scripture. And that's the one I want to refer you to. John chapter 20, verse 31.
John chapter 20, verse 31. Listen to what he says. What's the implication of John's revelation? It is stated there. Oh, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Why has John revealed Christ to us in this way? It's that we may know God. We may know the true God and believe in him. And believing that Christ is the Son of God means having life. Believing that Christ was sent by God to save us from our sins on the cross of Calvary. It means having life. Without you believing in Christ as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, as one who has been sent by God to save this world, you cannot know God. We can only know God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the implication that of John's revelation is that we may know the true God and believe in him through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that, John's revelation. And you, if you believe, you will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. Oh, this evening, perhaps, we will be looking at John the Baptist's testimony of Jesus Christ, how he also reveals him to us. Jesus came into the world, born of the Virgin Mary. Have you believed in him? Is he your Lord and Savior? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you have a relationship with God? Oh, friends, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Without him, Christmas means nothing and you will walk in darkness.